Exodus 33. Last week, it was the obedience of Moses and his helpers, and Solomon and his helpers, in carrying out the instructions in building the tabernacle and the temple. And so, we're going to read tonight about the reward of God to them for following his instruction. In 33, look at verse 14. The Lord is speaking to Moses and he says, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And he said unto him, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein now shall it be known that I have found favor in thy sight, I and thy people? Is it not that thou goest with us, so that we are separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth?" Favor of God is present. His favor toward the people, their separation from all others upon the face of the earth. Now, chapter 40, verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of meeting because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward throughout all their journey. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and there was fire therein by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel, throughout all their journey. Now turn over to Numbers chapter 9, verse 15. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, even the tent of the testimony. And at even, it was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it, and the appearance of fire by night. And whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tent, then, after that, the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel encamped. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord, they encamped. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they remained in camp. And when the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And sometimes the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle. Then, according to the commandment of the Lord, they remained in camp, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And sometimes the cloud was from even until morning. And when the cloud was taken up in the morning, they journeyed. Or, if it continued by day and by night, when the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Whenever it was 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, abiding thereon, the children of Israel remained in camp and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they encamped, and at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by Moses. Let us speak to the Lord again in prayer. Our Father,
We're thankful for the fascinating portion of thy word. This book is our treasure. We pray that our souls shall never load it. But let us understand that as clearly and surely as your voice was heard through the lips of thy Son when he was on earth, so thy voice is heard and these words are read in the ears of thy people. Help us to understand these words and let us profit by them. Let us realize the purpose for which thy Spirit inspired. And so cleanse us and empower us and purify us and give us receptive hearts. Help us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Think on those words and see if they mean to you what they did to Moses. God was angry with Israel because they had made the golden calf, because they had disobeyed his commandments. And the Lord said, "Let me alone and I will destroy them and make of thee a greater nation." And Moses interceded with God. And he said, "Lord, what is going to manifest thy favor to us other than thy presence with us?" And he said, "If thou go not up with us, then do not send us." And, "Lord, what is thy favor to us than the separation of us from all the people upon the face of the earth?" Now, think of this. Two blessings of God. His presence and our separation. And I'm wondering if we as children of God feel the same about this as a blessing from God as Moses in his insight into what was a blessing from God. Just like our Savior who says, "Blessed are the poor in heart. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek." And you think and you say, "Well, it's not so pleasant to be meek. Blessed are they that mourn. Who wants to be sorrowful all the time?" And yet the Lord said, "Blessed." And you think of these things that the Lord pronounces as blessed, and then you say, "Well, they must be. The Lord has said it." And you think of Moses and the importance he set upon the presence of God with him and their separation from the rest of the people of the earth, and you say, "This must be of great importance." And so, let me ask you this question. How many of you would want to go through life alone? Not me. I would be scared to death to try to go through life alone. Now do you see? Moses said, "If you go not with us, I don't want to go, and neither do I." I see what it is in the world, even with the promise of God to go with me. And if God had forsaken me, or if I had not God to go with me through the world, I would say to the Lord, "I'm not going. I'm just going to sit down here and die." And so Moses said, "This is your favor, your presence with us. And at the same time, my separation from the people of the world, isn't it strange that some of us, such as Lot, like to go to Sodom and sit in the gate of the city, and we say, why, an influential place in the world, that is favor." But Moses said, that is a disapproval of God. He said, "Your favor is your presence with us and our separation from all the peoples of the face of the earth. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." And so, separation and the divine presence, those are the blessings, and those are the distinctions between us and the world. And so why is it that you want to walk a life separate from your Savior, and why is it that you want to mingle with the world? I want to have religion. And it says in James 1, "Pure religion and undefiled before our God and Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widow in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." And it says in Galatians chapter 1 that the will of God is that he might deliver us out of this present evil world. And so have we forgotten that what distinguishes us from the rest of the world is God's presence with us and our separation from them? And that is why God is constantly telling us to live separated lives, not a holier-than-thou attitude, not that we do not go into the world to seek sinners, but it said concerning the early church that nobody dared join themselves to the church. Why? Because the fear of God was in their midst. That is why. And there was purity, and there was fellowship with God, and the world saw it, and they said, we want nothing to do with it. And yet, I wonder when worldlings could come in among us and feel right at home. Why should they? If they would feel at home as sinners being welcomed by friends who want them to be saved, that is one thing. But if they can sit down next to you and me and feel no difference in our life that is supposed to be holy, and our knowledge of God, and our response to the teachings of the book, then something is wrong. And so Moses said, Lord, I want your presence, and I want you to enable us to be a separated people. These are the blessings of God. And so the Lord said to Moses, all right, I will go with you. And so when the tabernacle was completed, this is the way that God manifested himself to them, going with them. He said, I will be a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That is how I shall manifest my presence. Now, God could have been with them without any visible manifestation, but at this time, just as he gave them a tabernacle, something material with which they could worship. You see, now we worship God in spirit and in truth. At that time, they worshiped God with lambs and goats and the rituals that the Lord set forth in the book of Leviticus and elsewhere. Now we worship God in spirit and in truth. But the presence of God was known by looking over the tabernacle, and if that cloud was there, they could say, God is with us. How are we going to know that God is with us today? Take on that for a while. And so there were two things. Notice, it said the cloud of God was above it, and the glory of God was in it. The cloud above it was the omnipotence of God for their protection and guidance, and the glory of God was within for their favor and their privilege. And that is how it is with us. We have guidance, and we have God to guide us and protect us, and we have God within us, the favor of God, the divine presence within us. These things are true today. And yet, we have no cloud about us. At times, when Moses had been with God, his face shone, and people could look at him and tell he had been in the presence of God. And perhaps that can be told today. I remember that just before Stephen was stoned, it said his face was as the face of an angel. And I'm wondering if I have communed with God without any artificiality, if there is something of the appearance of God, of the fragrance of Christ about me, if I've been communing with him. I wonder if God has to make my face to shine to let people know that I've read my Bible and pray. And at the same time, I wonder if I am so dense and obtuse that I have to have an actual pillar of cloud to let me know where I'm to go. For God to tell me, you are not to go to that den of iniquity. No, you are not to invest your life there. Are we so dull that we cannot comprehend the will of God and the guidance of God? Has he not set the cloud before us in telling us where we should go and where we should not go, with whom we should fellowship and with whom we should not fellowship? And yet we look at it, and when God gives us the guidance, we do not accept that guidance. And yet that was the favor that Moses spoke to God about, your presence with us. And so, as the Israelites at that time had the cloud above and the glory within, we have that today. And that cloud, I told you, being above, was the omnipotence of God, not only to guide them, but to protect them. And that cloud is brought to our attention before it hovers upon the tabernacle, because in Exodus chapter 14, when Pharaoh is pursuing the children of Israel, it says the angel of the Lord went behind them, and the cloud went behind them, and it was between them and the Israelites, and you let Pharaoh make a move when God's angel and cloud were behind them, between Israel and Pharaoh. Nothing happened. But then, finally, God allowed Pharaoh to come forward. And so, the omnipotence of God is in the cloud. He guides, but at the same time, he protects us. You remember what he said to Satan when Job wanted, when Satan wanted to destroy Job? He said, go this far. That is as far as you can go. That cloud still comes between us and our enemies when they would come and destroy us. And as the Lord Jesus said to Pilate, you would have no authority over me unless it were given thee from above. And so that cloud is still here to protect us and to guide us. But one other thing, that glory is still within us. It says in Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I was telling you this morning about the Lord Jesus saying that the Father would come and abide in them as the Father abode in Christ and Christ abode in the Father. Right now, we are in Christ and the Father is in us. The Lord Jesus said, if a man keep my word, my Father and I will come and we will take up our abode with him. And so just as in the Old Testament, God took up his abode with the Israelites in the cloud, so now in the Spirit of God, the Father has taken up his abode and the Son has taken up his abode within us. And so we still have the cloud, we still have the guidance, all of these things are at our disposal. But now think of this a moment. I ask you this. Who would want to go through life alone? Why, most sinners in the world want to go through life alone. Don't you realize that? When the rich young ruler came to the Lord Jesus and said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord Jesus told him. And when the Lord Jesus laid before him all the conditions, it says, the young man's countenance fell, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He said, I want to go through life alone. I would rather have material things than have you to go through life with me. Because the Lord Jesus said, come, follow me. See, he could go through life with Christ, or if he did not obey the Lord, he would have to go through life alone. And he said, I will go through life alone. And so that's supposed to be the difference between us and rich young rulers. That the Lord Jesus said, follow me. And whatever the condition is that he lays down, we follow him. That's the important thing. And so, who would want to go through life without the Lord Jesus, to go through life alone? I shudder to think of such an existence. If the Lord were to ever take his hand away, the Bible says, the Lord is able to make his servant to stand. I'm so thankful that the Lord Jesus is that table that supports his people that are upon it. No, I'm not going through life alone. The Lord Jesus is with me. And this is what he promises. He says in Matthew chapter 28, he said, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. It says in Hebrews 13:5, let your manner of life be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor will in any wise forsake thee, so that with confidence we may say, the Lord is my helper, I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. And so the Lord is with us always. You know Psalm 23, if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The most important thing in life is knowing that when you go through life, the Lord Jesus is with you. The shadow of death, the Lord Jesus is with me. That is the important thing. But now let me ask you this. You do not want to go through life alone. Well, Would you go someplace that the Lord Jesus told you not to go? I'm thinking of Paul and Silas. And my answer is, not me. And the answer of Paul and Silas, we also refuse to go where the Lord does not want us to go. Because in Acts 16, they're trying to serve God. And they try to go to Bithynia. And they try to go to Mysia. And the Spirit of the Lord Jesus says, no. And therefore they say, then we're not going. Tell me, if the Lord tells you not to do a thing, do you insist on doing it? If you do, you know what happens? You have gone, and the Lord Jesus has been left behind. You're going through life alone. And so not only unsaved people say to the Lord Jesus, I don't want to go through life with you. Not under those conditions. And so Christians at the same time, when the Lord said, I don't want you to go there. And you say, well, I want to go anyway. Well then, do you think the Lord goes with you? And so, another thing, let me ask you. If the Lord told you to go a certain place that you did not want to go, would you prefer to go to that place with the Lord or stay where you thought it best and be left alone? I mention that because in John chapter 11, Lazarus is sick, and the Lord Jesus says to his disciples, our friend Lazarus is sick, but I go that I may awake him from his sickness, awake him from his sleep. And the disciples say, Master, the Jews were only recently seeking to kill thee, and are you going back again? And then the Lord Jesus speaks additional words to them, and they understand that his heart is set to go and heal Lazarus, yea, raising from the dead. And this is what Thomas said. He looked at the disciples and he said, let us also go, that we may die with him. Think of this. He said, I think the Lord is making a mistake. It's going to result in our death. He said, but let us also go that we may die with him. Now, do you want to do that? Suppose you know you can stay here and live, or that God wants you to go here, and you're going to die. Which would you do? Or do you think of your life? Think of the little miserable life that you live day by day, the little inconveniences of life, and God says, I want you to go here, or I do not want you to go there. And you say, at a more convenient season, no, I can't be bothered. You see? And so when you say that, then the Lord says, I want you to go there. If you stay here, and the Lord is there, then you're left alone. You see? Because this is what Brother Gibbs said. I remember on one occasion he's telling me this. He was saying that he was a missionary in Africa. He was born in Africa. And he heard somebody get up and say, Nogonolo. He said, Nogonolo. He said, what word is that in the African language? Nogonolo. He said, what does that mean? He said, if you do not go, then there is no lo. He said, go into all the world, and lo, I am with you always. No go, no lo. He said, oh, so that is it. And so God said, no go, no lo. He said, you go, and I'm with you. And if you refuse to go, is the Lord with you anyway? Well, you figure it out. And so Thomas said, I would rather go and die with the Lord, to have him with me, and me be with him, rather than stay here and remain in safety. And so, to have God to go with you through life, that's the important thing. No matter if it entails danger or privation, it makes no difference. The presence of God is the important thing. To know that the Lord Jesus is with you. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, at my first defense, no man stood by me. But then he said, the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. And so I'm wondering, had you rather have men to stand by you, but leave the Lord over there? Or had you rather stand alone for God and have the Lord to stand by you? And I know the answer that you'll give in what you say until tomorrow morning. It's a little inconvenient to read your Bible and pray or come out to the prayer meeting or attend all the services. And then you find, well, Lord, yes, I want you to go through life with me and I want to walk through life with you. But it's so inconvenient. And so keep these things in mind. The favor of God is the presence of God. And God said, my presence is with you when you follow the guidance that I give. But if they saw the tabernacle, and then the clouds rise above and go forward, and they say, I rather like this location. I like these palm springs, these trees, these springs of water. I rather like it here. I'm going to stay. And the cloud goes on and the people of God leave you. Then you're going to life without God. Don't you understand that? And so you cannot say, well, even in my sin, God is staying with me. Indeed, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. But there is such a thing as the special presence of God. At no time was the Holy Spirit not with the Lord Jesus, but there was his special presence when at his baptism he descended from heaven as a dove and abode upon him. And in one sense, God is never without being where you are, but in another sense, God promised to keep you and protect you. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, and it's a fearful thing to walk outside the protecting hand of God. And some Christians have found it out to their disappointment. And so think of this, because some Christians don't realize it. But the whole life of Israel was regulated by that tabernacle, the center of worship. Now, is your life regulated that way? You think of it. The tabernacle was the center of worship. And when the tabernacle rested, then the children of Israel rested where the tabernacle was. And if the tabernacle went forward, the children of Israel went forward. Therefore, the center of the guidance of God was that tabernacle. The worship was the center of the activity of Israel. Is that your life? I'm afraid that for some Christians, they think this way. Well, what is it, Wednesday? Oh, yes, that's prayer meeting. Sunday? Oh, the Lord's Supper. They think, I've never felt that way. I can't conceive of such a thing. I know that Lord's Day morning, I'm to be with the people of God, and Lord's Day evening, and prayer meeting, and if there are special meetings arranged by the church formally, by the grace of God, I'm going to be there. I don't think, shall I go or shall I not go? I don't think that way. Here is the tabernacle, and the cloud gets up and goes forward. And some of the tribe of Judah say, well, I don't care if we should go forward. You don't think that way. Of course they go forward. The whole nation of Israel went forward. There was no question about it. Their movements were determined by their center of worship. And let me say this. And if you think it's bragging, fine. A few years back, I had an opportunity to go to England. I told my wife, well, you get me a good price to go over to England, and I'll go. And I think she got me a round trip for less than $300. And so I couldn't do anything but go. And so I said, well, before I go, I have to find out if they have an assembly at which I can meet and if that assembly will receive me. And so I phoned long distance across the ocean and said, is there an assembly there? Will they receive me and let me remember the Lord there? And when, yes, come, then I was prepared to go. And I tell you the truth. If they had said, there is no assembly, we don't know what will happen on the Lord's Day, I would not have gone to England, because the center of my life, and it should be the center of your life, the Lord Jesus said, this is England. And yet there are those who say, well, I can get a promotion in life, but it'll take me away from God, and it'll take me away from His people, but just think, it's an elevation, it's a promotion in life. That's exactly what God said was not His favor. The favor of life is my presence with you. And your separation from the people. And the important thing in life is that tabernacle and your relation to it. You understand that? And so if you are not in a proper relation to that tabernacle that is in the midst, then you've lost God's favor. You think you're getting on in life, you've lost everything in life. You have no favor, you have no success. The success is being in a right relationship with that tabernacle of God. And you'll find it. I won't go into detail now, but that tabernacle had a certain location in the midst, and then the priest had a certain place in relation to it, and the Levites, and Judah, and Reuben, and Simeon, all of the tribes, they have their relative position to it. And so as I go through life, my whole life is to be governed by the worship and adoration of the Lord Jesus Christ, keeping of the service of the Lord. And so if I am out of place, even though I follow the tabernacle. That is wrong. But there is decency and order, and so I follow the tabernacle, and God says, I want you here. And so I don't try to get here. And so there is a proper relationship to this tabernacle. Keep that in mind. But if your life ever is satisfied being away from the tabernacle and the people of God, then you've lost the favor of God, and you found the favor of men. And this is what it says in John chapter 11. It says, chapter 12, it says, nevertheless, many of the rulers believed on him. Nevertheless, they did not confess him because they loved the glory, that is, of men, more than the glory, that is, of God. Now, which do you love? And so, this is what we say. And I'm thinking of this. I'm thinking of how irritating and how boring it would be. Did you hear what it says? I hope you noticed the repetition. I read it that way. Over and over and over again, it said, if the cloud went up, then the people went forward. If the cloud settled down, the people encamped. If the cloud went up, they moved forward. If the cloud, it tells us over and over and over again, the cloud determined where they were to be. If it told us once, that would be enough. But it says it over and over again until it becomes irritating, until you find yourself in life having to be told again and again, you are not following the cloud. The cloud is the thing. The cloud is moving forward. Why are you tarrying behind? Now the cloud is settled down. Why are you going forward? And another thing. It said at times that cloud, and this is an omniscient God, the cloud went till evening, and then it stopped. And so the people would settle down, and they would get their tents unfurled, and they would set up the tabernacle first thing in the morning. The cloud would remove and say, we're going on again. Well, why do we have to go through all of this day by day? I can't tell you. Can't tell you at all. Any more than I can tell you why the Lord Jesus told his disciples, get in the boat and row to the other side of the Lake of Galilee. And a storm comes up, and they are rowing and rowing and rowing, and they never get to the other side. And then the Lord comes to them, walking upon the water. Why not, Lord? Let me save my strength. I'm so tired. I'll be more alert tomorrow morning if you let me get a good night's sleep. The Lord said, get in the boat and row to the other side. Now, why God said, I want to travel today, and then tonight, camp, and in the morning, I want us to go. And it said sometimes he would stay 2 days, sometimes a month, sometimes a year. And you would say, well, Lord, why do you want to stay a year in this location? I cannot tell you that. I'm simply showing you the principle set forth in this book that God has his ways and his reasons, and we are not to know why, but we are to obey the guidance of God. And today, it isn't visible, and it isn't audible. At that time it was. You may read in the next chapter. You may read in Numbers chapter 10, in contrast, or in complement to chapter 9. In chapter 9, they saw the guidance of God. In chapter 10, they heard, because they played silver trumpets. Whenever the command to go forward was given, the silver trumpets would be played. They could hear it. When the cloud rose up, they could see it, and so they couldn't miss it. They had two senses. They could see, and they could hear. And so in like manner, there are two ways and more that we can ascertain the will of God. But that comes from communion with God. And there are those who know. And so God wants to protect us and keep us, and God wants to guide us. Let us be sure that our life is accompanied by him. Let us pray. And Father, forgive us for ever thinking that there is anything that is inconvenient to us. Whose are we? Hast thou not said to us, you are not your own, you are bought with a price. And so if you want us to go someplace tonight and then pack up again tomorrow, let us realize that we have no reason to complain. We are not our own. And if you would have us to stay a year in a place that is unpleasant, let us remember that we are not our own. But let us simply know the movement of the clouds. Let us know the sound of the trumpet, our God. And let us be willing to be guided by you. We have not that cloud and that trumpet literally, so that our eyes and our ears can hear. And yet, are not thy servants speaking so that our ears are hearing? And is not thy word in our hands so that we can read and see what the word of God tells us to do? And so by thy spirit within, let us hear thy voice through thy servant, and let us read thy word and know the true interpretation. And let us be those who can say with David, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And let there be, Father, a going, because we are carrying thy gospel to the end of the earth. Hear us and bless us, and show us that favor, we pray, our God, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.